Now, broadcasting live from the Podcast Palace on Park Street in beautiful and dangerous Clearwater, Florida, it's the Comedians on Cork podcast. And now, here are your hosts, Tony God and Pat Largo.
And welcome to episode 9 of the Comedians Uncorked podcast. To my left, the one and only Tony God. My name is Pat Largo, and this is great, man. And first of all, we want to thank you guys for being a part of this show. This is our 9th episode. It's hard to believe. It's been like almost, a couple of months, 2.5 months almost.
We're
now.
We're going to be double digits.
Dude, this is awesome.
Pretty soon.
And it's great working with you. I really mean that.
It's not so great working with you, but
that's
whatever.
The problem. So that's why I usually don't get fired a lot. We want to welcome everyone to the show. Anyone, new listeners, new viewers, of course, hit us up at comediansuncorked.com. All the platforms right now, thank you to Spotify and Google Podcasts and Breaker and all the rest of the platforms for that. Don't forget to hit us up on our Comedians Uncorked YouTube channel. We post there a few times a week, sometimes several times a week, depending on how much I drink.
Subscribe to the channel.
That's right. Hit that subscribe button.
And interact with us on there. We got some stuff for you there.
Yes, a couple people did recently. I did, and I think they answered, so that was kind of cool. So we want to get more of that coming back and forth there. Also, of course, everything goes through our website with Randy Myers. Thank God for him. It's comediansuncorked.com. Check that out right there. And also a big shout out to Julie Drolshagen. She's our in-studio sponsor. If you're in the mood or you're coming down to Florida, you got to rent something, especially you got to buy something or sell something in the Tampa Bay area or around, hit her up. Julie Drolshagen at 727-902-9233, floridabeachbusiness.com.
Floridabeachbusiness.com.
And we got a lot going on. Before we find out what was going on with your weekend and my weekend, we got a lot going on.
It's been a busy week. Couple weeks.
And on today's show, before we get to that, we have this is I haven't seen this, so I'm excited to hear about this. Jeff Ross becomes evidence in court. New comedy TV shows announced. I like it. Also, college kids try stand up.
Right.
We'll see how that goes. And then we answer the question of the week, which last week, Tony had another great one. He said, what joke do you tell most often? And that could be just like a street joke or just could be any kind of a joke that you tell most often. So we got that. Also, I was had the pleasure of doing an interview with stand-up comedian Jamie Lisso. If it sounds familiar, he's a part of the Real Rob show on Netflix. He's a comedian. He's a writer. He's an actor. He's a producer. He literally does it all.
Yes, and so, he does it well.
Yes, and that's he was really cool because he was telling me why he does it all in the interview. So
very smart stuff. Yeah, exactly. It was a great interview, by the way. So
thank you.
That's going to be a lot of fun. So check that out.
In the meantime, and again, thank you guys seriously for watching and listening and supporting us. We love giving you all the comic news and interviews and jokes in the meantime. So again, thank you so much. And Merry Christmas to you guys. And I know I had a decent weekend, but you, sir, Tony God, all I'm going to say is he was opening up at the Tampa Improv for a legend. I'll let you take it away.
Yes. It's been a very busy, busy week. And so I opened this past weekend for Damon Wayans.
Nice.
And I'll tell you about that in a minute.
Okay.
But let me just run through a couple other things dealing with this week because it's been busy. So I just announced I'm going to be doing a taping in January for Funny Not Famous, the TV show in Orlando.
Good.
So I'll be taping that in January. So I just announced that on my social media, as well as I just found out yesterday. Was it yesterday? Yeah.
Yes, it was Wednesday.
It was over the weekend.
Yes.
I'm lost. My days are lost now. So.
Rockstar is what you're doing.
But I landed a commercial that that tapes this week. So it's like that's why I told you I'm kind of rushed.
Yeah.
With a lot of stuff. So. So we'll be shooting a commercial, and that's up in Orlando as well this week. So I did that. I had another audition that I had to bang out.
Okay.
So I've just been kind of going.
Dude, that's great. You see this?
Moving.
The people I'm working with right here. So if Damon Wayans wasn't enough, and then a commercial. Now, we'll have more information later. Can you say what it's for right now, or that's like secret until then?
Well, I'll tell you later.
Okay, no worries.
We'll go over that stuff later. But as far as this weekend, it was really great. Damon Wayans was awesome. The shows were sold out. It was packed. Six wow. shows. It was just, it was insane. Yeah. And it was a lot of fun. I mean, I had some really fun sets. The host, Dylan Walker, mm-hmm. we mentioned him last weekend. Yeah. He did well. It was that was his first time hosting for Damon Wayans, obviously.
Oh, wow.
And, it was cool, man. He was very cool. We didn't really get to, hang out and talk during the weekend mm-hmm. until the very end, until the very, at the end of the shows. Then, he sat down with us and hung out with us for an hour and just,
oh, wow.
And just shot the shit and, told us gave us a lot of great, information about the industry and told us some great stories that I'm not going to be able to share with you. That's comic to comic stuff. So that's the kind of stuff that's inside the inside.
Right. Exactly.
But it was really awesome. And he was a really cool guy. And, he took the time to watch our performances as well,
cool.
You're on his show that you're sharing his audience.
Yeah.
So, first of all, you want to see what the person's doing on your show, see if they're representing what you do or what your show is. But then he's a fan. He's a comedian. Been around for a long time.
Yeah.
And he loves comedy, so he wants to see who's doing what. And he took the time, and he was hanging out upstairs on the balcony in the green room, and he checked us out, and he gave us feedback.
Wow.
He gave us feedback on the performances and some notes as far as how to tighten it up or things that that you might want to adjust or consider. And it was really cool, man.
That's awesome. See, yeah. That's great to hear when you, especially a legend like that. I've never seen him do stand up. Of course, I remember him from movies and In Living Color. Now, what does his stand up? Is he doesn't strike me as being dirty.
He doesn't strike you as being dirty.
But he is, isn't he?
You know why you say that? I'll tell you why you say that.
Because I've never seen him do stand up before.
Exactly. You've only seen him on TV.
I've only seen him on TV. Kind of like Bob Saget.
Which is where you have to be clean.
Right.
There's regulations. But no, he's not a clean comic at all.
Okay.
By any means.
Checking.
Yeah.
Good. So you guys fit in perfectly.
So, it was fun, man. I mean, that's the thing. It's like he's one that'll take chances. He'll take big risks. And, he wants to have a reaction.
Yeah.
He wants the crowd to react. So, yeah, he's not a clean comic, though.
Let me ask you this. And see, that's why, I just because I'm a comic, I ask these questions because I don't know and I want to be corrected, and that's why I like doing this. Did he do any controversial type stuff?
Controversial
the definition
to whom?
Is what exactly?
I mean, that's
subjective.
The thing is, if you're at his show, it's nothing's controversial to you.
Right, right.
I mean, that's the whole problem
right.
with that cancel culture idea.
Right.
The fact that you ask that question is a problem.
Yes. That's why I wanted to ask it and bring it up.
Well, because if I'm doing a show,
uh-huh.
I'm a comedian.
Right.
If I'm doing a show and you're coming to that show, then you should have no problem with what I say. There is no controversy.
That makes sense, right.
If you're coming to a show of a comic that you don't know, then you're going to ask that question because now you've set yourself up to be offended.
Yeah, you put that wall. You put that wall.
You're looking to be offended.
Yeah.
So that's a bad question, man. Don't ever ask that question of any comic.
Right.
Because it doesn't make sense. It's especially when if you sold out the room.
Yes, exactly.
What's controversial?
Right.
To who? To the people that aren't there?
And that's,
who gives a fuck?
Exactly, true. And that's why I wanted to ask that, because we've been covering this the last few weeks. And
yeah.
I wanted to let people know, and that's the proper answer that you gave. And I would give probably about the same type of answer, not as eloquent. But I mean, that I wanted to ask that so people understand that. So, yeah, when you say, you could say, hey, is he dirty? That's one thing. Is he dirty? Like, did he say the F word?
But it still doesn't matter.
Okay, it doesn't matter. I mean, if you don't know the person, right, you could YouTube him. That's what we said. Research it.
Well, it's the same thing as the example we used before. Like, if you're going to the movies.
Right.
You know what an R-rated movie is. You know what a PG movie is. You know what a PG-13, a G,
right.
an X-rated movie. You know what that is. If you see the preview, you know what it is. So when people start asking those kind of questions, is he dirty or is it controversial, blah, 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 You know who's asking those questions? The people that don't go to the show.
Right.
The people that are complaining about, oh, this person's controversial, or they're too dirty, or they're too this or that. Well, you don't go to the show, so it doesn't matter.
Yes.
It really doesn't matter. That's like worrying about the person across the street, what kind of car they drive.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
yeah.
This person, oh, you know, they drive a Corolla. So what?
Right.
So what? Is this street like restricted to Mercedes or something?
Yes.
Or is it only Ford right. vehicles? Or, you know, it doesn't matter. It's not your car. You don't got the keys to it. You're not getting in it. You didn't insure it. You don't drive it. Mm-hmm. Who gives a fuck?
Yeah. No, it's true.
That's it.
And that's the thing.
That's the whole answer right there.
And like you said, six sold out shows, they know who he is. They're there to see him. And they're
everybody cool. knows who he is. And as a matter of fact, you know how you said you knew him from TV?
Right.
He hasn't been on TV for 4 years.
Oh, right on.
And he's still selling out.
Yeah.
You know, that's the difference between a comedian and then just some random person that's trying to get attention.
Right, right.
You know, he doesn't have to be on TV now for you to know who he is. And when you get in the room, you know, you understand his comedy.
Yeah.
You know?
No, that's good. That's good to know. And that's a good explanation. So that's what we're talking about. So hopefully it's one of the last times we talk about this stuff when it comes
to
the...
It won't be.
I know. You know that, man. I know.
That's the new struggle right now with entertainment. It's like they're going to hang on to this thing for like another couple years. People are going to be pushing this friggin' agenda, which is basically a different type of censorship. That's all it is. And if you're not in the room, it doesn't affect you. So what are you worried about? I mean, that's the biggest point. It's like the people that are complaining the most are the people that aren't even there.
They just want something to talk about.
They need attention.
You know? That's right. And like the old saying goes, if you don't like it, just leave. If you don't get your money back, they'll comp you to another show.
Just leave. Yeah, go to you'll get two shows out of it.
Don't right. You know? But it's like golfing when it rains. You only get like the first couple holes. You can't play 17 holes and go, can I get a rain check?
Exactly.
So, don't stay the whole show and go, I was offended, I want a free show. They'll tell you to go fuck yourself. The first few minutes, if you don't like it, within the first 10 minutes or so, you should know if you like this person or less.
Yeah.
5 minutes usually.
Pretty much. Well, I mean, but you're talking about the headliner, so you have to. You know, if you get there on time, which hopefully you're at the show on time, you're going to see the host and you're going to see the feature act, the opening act. So you're going to have like a couple comics before you even get to the headliner, and then if you're going to wait all that time, now you're like 40-45 minutes into the show, and now you suddenly don't like the show. Because the headliner who you came to see, who's supposedly your fan of, has offended you.
Right.
With something that has nothing to do with you.
We can't stand for that.
So I want my money back. Listen, how about...
We'll get you a free ginger ale. That's the best we can do right now, my friend.
We comp you your food.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Jesus, I hope your fries are cold. Stop complaining, for God's sakes. That's why my circle of friends gets smaller and smaller.
Yeah.
Good Lord, man.
What about you?
Nothing like you. Let's just move on. Okay. No, okay, so I had nothing booked this weekend. Ready for this? This is a true story. I had nothing booked. Friday, I get a text from a booker and a comic in Sarasota area, Dan Gerlach, and he goes, hey, what are you doing tonight? And I'm literally, I was at Mimi's. I was just getting Mimi's donuts. I was getting my little Mimi's.
As always.
Thank you. Just hanging out like an old man now. Just give me a newspaper. I'll be there for four hours. And I said, nothing. What's going on? He goes, you want to do a private Christmas party show tonight at the Hyatt Regency in Sarasota? Gorgeous place. I said, sure. And I didn't even ask him, like, who or what. So I got down there, and I go, by the way, what's the group? Which is too late by the time I drove 2 hours to get down. I'm like, but what's the group, by the way? And he goes, they're engineers. I said, wow, you picked the wrong guy. So, and I guess the guy who did it, who hooked up with Dan, long story short, said, yeah, throw in a few engineer jokes. So I literally asked my phone.
Throw in a few
engineer jokes. So I did, and he did like 10 minutes. I was supposed to do like 20. I think I did 25 or so, you know, because they only had the room until 9:30. And so, but I literally do stuff I never do. It's kind of talk to the crowd and kind of roast people or just make fun of people. Because every time he's saying a name, someone's coming in, I'm remembering the name and just making fun of them because, you know, just to break the ice and make people laugh at each other. And that worked out really well. till I think I got to this one young couple.
Oh, boy.
And she was, well, nothing too bad, I don't think. She was gorgeous. He's, you know, tall, good-looking guy. And I was just talking about married couples, and I said, what about you guys? And he goes, oh, we're engaged. I said, well, congratulations. I said, how are we going to do it in 2022? He goes, well, we've been engaged for 3 years now. And I swear to God, I go, well, who's dragging their feet? And they're both staring at me, and he just points to her. And the whole crowd, all of his coworkers, they all go, oh. And I go, well, I said something like about them cheating on each other. I just said some bad stuff. But it was funny. Everyone laughed.
Yeah.
But she was just glaring at me after that, I think. But in a good way, not like a crazy bad stalker way.
You think in a good way.
I think. I'm just hoping that maybe I helped, that they went home that night and they went to bed and said, hey, what are we doing? Let's get married next year. I hope I helped them.
I expect there to be a report about domestic violence
in the Sarasota area. Dude, three years of engagement.
That's, yeah.
What takes? I mean, I could see if you're with someone 3 years and then you decide to get married, you're engaged.
I don't know.
But to be engaged for three whole years, for what's the reason?
I would know nothing about engagements.
Me either.
I don't know why you do it in the first place. Crazy talk.
It's just, why can't we all just hang out?
Let's just get back to comedy, okay?
Okay, very good. Let's talk about
talk.
Jeff Ross becomes evidence in court. Now, I'll be honest with you. I have been all over the internet here recently, Tony Gaud, and I have not seen this story, so I don't know where you came up with this. I know who Jeff Ross is. He's a very lovely man, and he's very funny. Now, how did this whole evidence in court thing come about?
Okay, so this is the news report. So this is from Reason.com.
Oh, boy.
Yeah, it's, I don't know what kind of publication this is,
it's
man.
It's like The Onion or something, isn't
it's
it?
It's crazy. But it's like a, I think it's like a publication for like lawyers and lawmaker types, that kind of thing. So they discuss cases. So this is a case that just recently happened. I'll give you the headline, and I'll just kind of give you the summary of the story.
Okay.
It says, anything you say to the comedian will be used against you.
Mm.
A murderer's conversation with Jeff Ross, Comedy Central, at Brazos County Jail is admitted in evidence at the death penalty proceeding. And no, the clown Miranda warning noted above wasn't given. So this is from Hall versus State, decided last week by the Texas Court of Criminal Appeals and an opinion by Judge Hervey. This is from in September 2015, a jury convicted a appellant of the 2011 murder of Edwin Scheer Jr. Now, what happened here was that Jeff Ross, if you've watched some of Jeff Ross's specials and some of his shows, you know he does he's like the roast master.
Yeah.
He's the, you know, master of roasting. Well, he was going around last year to the jails.
I saw that on Netflix.
Doing a tour, like a little special.
Yeah.
And he'd go in and he'd do like he'd basically roast the prisoners.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and so one of the guys he was talking to was this guy here.
Wow.
And apparently, like, they brought up his case, like he was there for murder or whatever. And so Jeff Ross was, you know, he was joking with him. And because of the way the guy was answering and responding to him, they entered that video into evidence.
Oh.
As part of his, like, for his death sentence or whatever, his penalty.
Oh my God.
Because he showed no remorse. So they're like, look.
You we got
think that's funny. You think it's funny, don't you?
Oh my God.
So yeah,
really?
So like Jeff Ross is in evidence. So you can find that court case and you can pull up Jeff Ross's I think they got like a transcript of the thing.
Sure.
They had like the video and everything. So,
oh my God.
But yeah, it was one of those guys that he was talking to. That's crazy.
That's why they just let Metallica and bands in there to do it. None of this shit would happen. When you have comedians in there, everyone's going to be going to prison or getting fried, because that's, and that may have been the one, I did see it and I loved it because he would sit down and interview some of the inmates, but then he was roasting skinheads. He's roasting the black guys. He's just anyone pretending, you know, guys talking about who you having sex with in here because you're so pretty, whatever. He was brutal,
yeah.
but very funny. But having a good conversation with them when he was just talking with them, just having a good conversation.
And that's what that was, from a conversation.
Wow, that's I guess that's almost unfair.
That's great. Well, that's the whole thing. They're arguing, like the defense is arguing that you know, he didn't have his lawyer present.
No,
you can't use that as, you know, Jeff Ross was sent in there as an agent of the state and all this stuff. So there's a whole thing about it.
Wow.
I'll put the link, obviously, to the story in the description. You can read the whole thing. But yeah, that's a lot of legalese on that article, because it's for people that are studying law or practicing law. So it basically cites cases and things like that. So, but yeah, you could check that out. I thought that was really interesting. So yeah, that's Jeff Ross making a difference, sending people to the electric chair.
So that roast is going to lead to another roast.
That's a real roast.
Holy crap!
That's taking it all the way right there. Congratulations,
Jeff Ross.
He's reached the ultimate level on that, right?
He is at the top now. You say you literally had someone killed.
Yeah.
He is the greatest comedian of all time. That's
the greatest roaster of all. Wow.
Chappelle might be the GOAT, but I don't know. He's never killed anybody.
He's never got
any. Oh, God. All right, let's go on to that. And feel free, again, to leave us comments, YouTube, Spotify. You can leave us some messages, I think, also on Spotify. So please just join in. Let us know what you think. We'd love to hear from you.
And if there's stories that you like to hear about, or, you know, different areas that you want to know about.
Yes, that's a good point, too. Yes. Just like this one here. New comedy TV shows announced. Thank God. How many reboots do we have?
So I was basically just going to kind of mention these. You know, we don't want to spend too much time on them, but they're new shows. This is actually, for one of these, it's the season 3 of The Stand-Ups.
Yes.
On Netflix.
I like that.
And you mentioned there was another show that you saw coming out on Netflix as well.
Yeah, The Degenerates.
The Degenerates.
Now, I don't know if I saw season 1 of The Stand-Ups. I love season 2. It's got some of my favorite comedians on season 2.
I haven't seen it at all.
Okay, if you get a chance. I mean, like Brett Morin, Kyle Kinane.
Okay.
I believe also a young Nate Bargatze.
Oh, okay.
He may be on one, but there's a bunch of great comics.
Cool. Just doing like sets and that kind of thing?
Yeah, they're all doing like features. Like, they're all doing about 30 minutes.
Okay.
Oh, it's so good. They're just so good. But this one here, what do you call it? Season 3 of The Stand-Ups.
So that's season 3. Let me see if it says who's going to be.
I would love that, because I'll tell you who's going to be on The Degenerates on Netflix, which I just saw.
So this one.
Oh, I saw Dusty Slay.
Come on. Let's see. Mark Norman, Janelle James, Melissa Villa Senor.
Yeah, Villa Senor.
Dusty Slay, Brian Simpson. Yeah, so so there's a few of them for that season.
Nice.
And then another show. Oh, I'm fucking around with the mic.
Where's our engineer?
I know. Our engineer sucks.
Boy, I'm fired.
He's not union, obviously. But the other one is from a familiar name, Anna Gasteyer.
Yes, very funny.
It's a promising comedy vehicle in American Auto. This is from Variety. They basically showed the TV review is the show is still finding its voice. So I guess it hasn't found its voice yet, but...
Okay.
I don't know. She's pretty funny, I would definitely check that out. So there's a couple good shows coming up.
Okay, so we got that.
But at the same time,
yes,
while shows are being made and coming out, we have a follow-up from the Spotify story.
Oh, yes.
So you have, while those shows are starting or are coming about, Lewis Black has asked Spotify to remove his stuff.
Oh, okay. Now, if you recall last week, folks, right, people were getting removed, right, Tony, by Spotify,
yeah.
Tiffany Haddish, Kevin Hart, people like that. But you said Lewis Black is actually requesting his to be removed?
Yeah, so he is he's requesting it. Let me pull up the story here.
There we go.
And this was in Time magazine.
Filthy rag.
The exclusive. so this is the headline here. Comedian Lewis Black wants Spotify to remove his Grammy-nominated album amid comedy royalties battle.
Oh, wow.
So he's kind of basically standing up for the other comedians that are having this issue. Because this is all basically a negotiation thing.
Yeah.
you know. He's got his stuff on there, and this is, you know, Lewis Black's been around forever. Everybody loves him.
Yeah.
So he's basically showing his support for the other comics that are dealing with the situation and having their stuff removed. And I think, he's taking a stand, and I think that's cool. But it all boils down to negotiations for royalties for, you know, plays, for their material being played over and over, being downloaded, what have you. And I think it has more to do with the writing side of it as opposed to, like, the, you know, the performer side. Because they're going to get something for that. They get something for that now.
Yeah.
But as writers, they're not getting paid.
Right.
And in any other industry, any other part of this industry, the writer is getting paid as well. Mm-hmm. Because those things wouldn't exist without the person writing them.
Creating it, right. So that's, that makes sense.
Yeah, so that's a, you know, while some things are coming up, some things are coming down.
And kudos to Lewis Black, who is, I'm sure, a multimillionaire, who finally said, hey, let me step up. I don't need all this money.
Yeah, he's like, how much will this hurt?
Yeah, that's it. You don't see like burn those guys. They're like, no, fuck that. Poor Black's got to step up. Poor Lewis Black.
He's the one that felt guilty.
He's the one that felt guilty for once in his life. He finally felt the guilt. Oh my God, dude, that's fun. Let's go on to this one. Oh, real quick, can I say the Degenerates?
Yeah, yeah.
The new one on, I just saw this, I was just looking up some stuff, and The Degenerates, a new one on Netflix, it's on now. Nikki Glaser, I do like her. I think she's funny. Nikki Glaser, Robert Kelly, Ms. Pat, Jim Norton, nice. Donnell Rawlings, and Adrian Lapalucci. Weird last name, but she's funny. So,
cool.
So six people on The Degenerates on Netflix. Now we have another one. This is going to be kind of a cool one, I think. You have College Kids Try Stand-Up Comedy.
So this is, I call it a feel-good story.
Okay.
I think we should always end with something that feels good. Or at least for now it feels good. So this is,
I'm used to that.
You don't know, yeah. This is,
Jesus.
This is from the Iowa State Daily.
He really winds up crying.
So these students, the headline is Stand-Up Comedy Club Helps Students Perfect Comedy Performances.
Okay.
They basically set up their own comedy club at the school.
Wow.
And so they've been going and doing stand-up. So let me just, I'm just going to read the beginning part of this.
Okay.
And then you guys can read the rest. So the Iowa State Stand-Up Comedy Club, which is the acronym SUCK.
Right, yeah.
All right, they're off to a good start.
That's right.
Good for you, Iowa.
Iowa State Cyclones. Nice.
It's a group of students that write and perform stand-up comedy locally in Ames. There are around 11 members with an average of 30 to 35 people that come to watch their shows.
Wow.
Which is actually pretty good.
It is really good, actually.
It's pretty good turnout for college kids open mic. The club meets every Wednesday from 6 to 7:30 in Carver 0282. I don't know if that is that a room?
That's a good question.
Building?
I don't know.
Carver Building?
Damn.
A typical meeting for the club. Comedy Club opens up with a video of the comedian's performance. The group then discusses what was done well or not. Afterward, they break up into groups and write jokes for upcoming shows.
That's pretty. All right, that's pretty dope. Go. I like. That's really cool, though.
That's it. So, how many of these kids do you think are going to drop out of school to start doing comedy?
That's the problem.
Right. Like, yeah, this is pretty good. Let's just quit.
And there's going to be a lot of unhappy parents going, I just spent how much for your Iowa State education? But you know what, though, man? Is this like the first in the nation doing this, probably, right? Is this I haven't heard much about this.
I don't
this.
Know Maybe if it would, the first I don't know, nation, yeah. I don't know if it would be the first school to do something like that, but
it's good, though.
I mean,
love that.
It's a good thing now. I mean, it's good to know that they're doing it, you know?
Yeah, and just the writing process, just to put pen to paper and just to let your mind flow. They might not even discover comedy. They might be like, you know, I'm a good writer. I might do something. I mean, it could lead to so many things.
Well, I would imagine that a couple of those students involved there are probably like going into careers that involve public speaking or something of that nature.
Yeah, that's true.
Or a leadership role where you need to be more comfortable in front of people.
Correct.
In order to, you know, to give them the information and the confidence to trust what you're telling them. So I think that's probably the case with some of those. Some of them are probably interested in the arts. Some of them are probably, you know, that's like they just discovered their calling, maybe, you know, one or two, and then, you know, they're going to go from there. But I think that's a cool thing. It's a good move, especially right there with school, because it kind of keeps you, you know, realistically, it will keep you involved with school because it involves other students. So it's like, okay, this is part of my academics now.
True. And it's just fun to do. If you're having fun with it, it's fun to do. And we know there's comedy club. We just did a Where They At a couple of weeks ago with Iowa. There's comedy clubs up there in in the Iowa State area. So hopefully they can do some open mics there or get some maybe some host work down the road. So maybe I'll call those guys or contact those guys and just see how they're doing sometime just to see what's going on. I would love to have maybe one of them on sometime just to talk about
it. Yeah, get a Zoom with them. Let's do an interview and get a feel for the Iowa, what is it?
Yeah, Iowa State Cyclones.
The
acronym was
Tell us about suck.
I liked it. That's cool. Good for you guys, man. Keep it going, man. And if you guys have any feel-good stories, man, let us know. Something in your town, something you're doing like that, just let us know on YouTube or, Spotify, any platforms like that. So do we want to do question of the week? Or we want to...
Yeah, let's do that.
Want to do that real quick?
Before we do that, though, I want to send a shout-out, a congratulations...
To
Liam Farrelly...
Okay.
...for being named Scottish Comedian of the Year.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, that's awesome. All right, cool.
That was in the Chortle in the UK.
Okay.
So congratulations to our international comedians out there.
I like it. Now he'll come to the U.S., hopefully, for a nice little tour... And I'm going to write his name down and see if I can contact him and see if we get him on the show.
Yeah, that'd be cool. Find out how the comedy is over there. You might not even understand him.
No, it depends on what. Oh, man, you ain't kidding.
This is going to get good. This is going to be good.
We're all going to be hearing different things, man. And that's not making fun.
This is
going to
be our first show with closed captions.
Yeah. And not just for us this time. It's going to be for Liam.
We have a translator.
God. You're right, though. Congratulations to him, though. So this is really cool. So our question of the week you gave us last week is what joke do you tell most often? I had a couple. I mean, they're mostly they're a couple of street jokes that like I would tell like at a
same.
If someone brings them up. I'm not just gonna street joke you.
But I have the same thing. It's like it's triggered.
Yes.
It's a triggered joke.
Right.
Right.
I don't just go up and say like someone says something. I go, "Hey, did you hear this joke about the?" I don't do that unless they do it first. I'll go, "Okay, so here's one I heard about, and I'll try to do."
Yeah.
And then I end it. I end it one and done.
Well, what's one that you catch yourself doing that you recall all the time?
Okay, I'll give you this one's it's one I heard on one of the blue collar ones from Jeff Foxworthy. So this one's obviously it's a little cleaner. So the whole one is a guy is married. His wife goes to the doctor, finds out he's got 24 hours to live. Has a horrible disease he didn't know about. So he rushes home and he goes, "Hun, I got 24 hours to live." The doctor confirmed this. He goes, "All I want to do is just make love to you as much as I possibly can." She goes, "Oh, I totally understand that. Good, let's go." So they're making love and making love and making love, and they fall asleep. And it's about 3:30 in the morning, and he wakes up and he just taps her on the shoulder and he goes, "Baby, can you wake up? I just want to make love to you one more time." And she goes, "Well, that's easy for you to say. You don't have to be up in the morning." So that's a Foxworthy one. So it's kind of clean. It's fast. There's another one. I'll let you. I don't want to do two.
Good.
All right. This one's a little longer. This one I got to tell you from the amazing Jonathan.
Oh, boy. Okay.
This
all
is
right.
a joke.
This one you mentioned last week.
Right. From the Aristocrats DVD.
Okay.
At the end of it, all of the comics who were doing the Aristocrats joke were telling their own favorite street jokes. Larry Miller, Paul Reiser, Phyllis Diller. God, they were funny. And the amazing Jonathan said one that just I died. So I'll try not to screw it up. He goes, it's a zoo setting. He goes, there's two gorillas next to each other and hang out in a zoo. And he goes, "Hey, you see that tiger down there?" And the other gorilla says, "Yeah, you mean the one that's sleeping?" He goes, "Yeah." He goes, "I'm going to go down there." He goes, "I'm going to fuck him real quick. And I'm going to get out of there before he does." And the other gorilla goes, "He'll kill you. He's you kidding me? He's almost like a lion. He'll kill you." He goes, "Watch this." So he goes down. He gets behind the tiger real quick. He puts it in for like a few seconds. The tiger wakes up and he goes, "What's this?" So he's chasing the gorilla all over the place around the whole zoo. The other gorilla's watching. He chases the gorilla. All of a sudden, the gorilla's a couple of beats ahead. He ducks into a guard shack. and he hides behind a newspaper, and about 4 seconds later, see, I'm laughing already, about 4 seconds later, the tiger comes in, and he goes, hey, did you see a gorilla around here? And the gorilla looks back, and he goes, no. He goes, why, is it in the paper already? And that was just a whole... It was just an amazing Jonathan joke that I probably lost something in translation because I haven't told it in such a long. But
well,
once,
you're not the amazing Jonathan.
I am not the amazing. But once he said, "No, it's in the paper already," I just yeah. I was drinking something and it just went all over my living room floor. I just because just the way he hit the punchline and hit that little look, that little eyebrow look.
Yeah.
I was crying. I couldn't nice. I couldn't stop laughing. So that was my two street jokes I used. Do.
Well, I do the same thing. Like I do, like I'll react, you know, I'll be triggered with the joke, you know, something. Like well, one that I think everybody kind of jumps on as soon as they hear the right words is that's what she said.
Right.
And that's yeah. what she said thing. Right. another thing I always catch myself, I catch myself repeating the nursery rhymes, the dirty nursery rhyme, like from Dice.
Oh, from Dice, yeah.
Yeah, I'm like, I can't, yeah, because he just, that used to be one of my impressions, like really early on. I used to do a little Dice. But like the one that's so quick that you don't even, that people aren't even expecting, the Little Boy Blue.
Yeah.
Little Boy Blue. He needed the money. Oh. Just that, perfect, man.
I don't care what you say, right, about Dice, about what you think is dirty or not, or if it offends you because it's nursery rhymes. That's it is some funny. Of the best shit. And then when he did his second special and did new nursery rhymes, because he did some of the old ones and the audience was repeating with
yeah,
him.
Yeah, yeah.
And then he busted out with new ones, which I didn't even think about.
Yeah.
And he nailed those.
Yeah.
And yeah, you're right, though. That's true, man. Those Dice
those
nursery
are perfect.
Rhymes, man.
Another one that I like was with Richard Pryor. And a lot of people have stolen so much from Richard Pryor.
Correct.
That a lot of the jokes are now hack, you know, because you heard them so often, you don't even realize where they came from. But one was really funny when he used to tell the joke, you know, this guy who's walked out, he's on the fishing pier, and he's standing next to another dude, and he had to take a piss. So he whipped out his dick and to take a piss, and he without looking over to the other guy, he said, "That water's cold." And the other guy whipped out his dick to take a piss, and he said, "Deep, too."
And that's true. I think I heard that at a urinal one time when I was a kid.
Yeah.
Your friend says it. And I'm like, oh, where'd you get that from?
Water's cold, yeah.
That's funny.
Exactly. That's so old. Yeah, it's like one of those things. It's like you don't even realize it's been repeated so many times down the line.
Yes, and stolen.
It's like, yeah.
Oh, my God, that's funny. So we got to do this week's question of the week.
This week's question of the week, yes.
And I don't even have it available.
It's a great question.
Oh, it's the, hang on. Do you know it off the top of your head? Because I was checking out something else on my phone.
What is your favorite Christmas prank gift?
Yes. All right.
Yeah. What's a good Christmas prank gift? Whether you got one or whether you gave one.
Yes.
Or so, whether you heard us from.
Yeah, we'll even take that. I'll do mine. Mine's pretty juvenile, but I guess most pranks are. But I'll do it. I'll bust it out with it next week. But yeah,
yes.
Get a hold of us. Whatever platform you're on, YouTube, comment or message us.
Well, by the way, yeah, next week is our Christmas special.
Yes,
we're doing the Christmas episode, so it's all going to be Christmas stuff. We're going to be talking about the pranks, and if you submit or you leave us a voicemail, we'll play it on there. Or if you write it down, send us a message, put it in the comments, we'll read it as well. But yeah, so it's all going to be Christmas stuff next week.
So we're going to be doing that. Plus, I'm going to be in another area.
You're going to be up searching for old Saint Nick.
Dude, I don't know what I've done.
You're getting close. He's getting closer.
Yeah, to make my girlfriend mad, but she's taking me, folks, ready for this? She's taking me to Alaska for 2 weeks. In December.
A lot of people disappear in Alaska.
Yeah, yeah.
I don't know if you heard about that.
No, I've seen that movie. What's it called? Into the Wild or whatever?
Well, that was just the guy going up there. I mean, people just disappear.
They just disappear. Well, it's a good place for it. So, and speaking of Alaska, you know, our guest on our interview is actually from Alaska.
Oh, my God. Yeah, that's right.
And I would like to get to this. Are you ready?
Yes, introduce him.
Well, I hope you guys enjoy this. So I got to do a Zoom interview with a really cool guy from Fairbanks, Alaska. You probably know him. You got one of those faces where you go, I think I know this guy. Jamie Lissow. He's an actor, writer, producer, comedian. He's a co-writer and co-star of Real Rob on Netflix with Rob Schneider and his wife. So I hope you guys enjoy this Comedians Uncorked interview with stand-up comedian and writer Jamie Lissow. Hey, guys. Pat Largo with the Comedians Uncorked podcast. And thanks again for tuning in. And we have a great one on today, man. This guy's here from the Tonight Show. With Jay Leno, his own Dry Bar stand-up comedy special, the Netflix original hit series Real Rob, starring Rob Schneider. Mr. Jamie Lissow, thanks for joining us.
Good to be here, Pat. Good to see you, man.
This is great. And I just thought of something, and I may be wrong, and if not, we'll still keep it in. Don't worry. But When I heard your name, and I see you now, and it was this one of the scenes in Real Rob, you were doing something, and I said, look at the guns on this guy. I'm talking about your arm. And I go, hang on a second. I went back to 2004. Uh-huh. Did you ever do anything at a place called Side Splitters in Tampa?
I did many times.
Okay. That's what I thought, because I swear, again, this just came to me. That was back in my pot induced days when I was, I was in a bad, I was just having a lot of pot going on. And I signed up for, I think, a comedy class in 2004 really? With a guy, a dude's name with a shaved head. I can't think of his name right now.
And I need to remember. That was Bobby Jewell's place. I remember that.
Right. Bobby used to be Bobby Jewell's. Right. Now BC took it over. BT, I'm sorry. Brian Thompson. BT took it over. You're right. Used to be a Bobby Jewell place. But we were doing, I think, a comedy class. And we were in, it's maybe like a Sunday afternoon. And, of course, I was high. And it was about maybe 10 or 12 others. And it was a guy with a long, kind of bald with a long ponytail, trying to have us write jokes and give us your premises. And he'd throw out a subject. We write jokes. And then I think you were a special guest because he said, hey, a big thank you to Jamie because he had shows last night or shows tonight. And he's here hanging out with us for a couple hours.
Oh, yeah.
And I bet that must have been you.
It was probably me. Did I always go to that stuff? Like if there's some kind of comedy class or something that weekend, I always go. I thought you were going to say about me working out. Like back in the day, I actually did this on the Tonight Show, and I did it at a bunch of clubs back in the day. My closing joke used to be, I used to do a joke about guys at the gym. And I would say, you know, they wear these tiny t-shirts so they look big or whatever. And I would go like, God, you look huge, man. What's your shirt say? Daddy's little princess, right? Like I would do this joke that it was like a little kid shirt. Then at the end of the show, I would be like, it's hot in here. And I'd take my shirt off and I would be wearing a Daddy's Little Princess shirt.
Sure. Okay. That may have been one of the things you said. But all I know is when I turned to see you, I noticed your arm because I'm like, I'm not used to the comics. I used to, like in radio, you know, when I was in radio for many years here in Tampa, when I used to hang out with or interview certain comics, I knew their body type. So you were a different animal. I'm like, this dude works out. So I don't know, that was it just stuck to it. So that was funny. So that was you then. That's awesome, man. So
and I have a little bit of like, I'm glad I moved on from that joke. I remember this one time I used to, this joke, it would kill, you know, it was silly and it was like 15 minutes. So if I was headlining, I would do a half hour and then go, I got the shirt thing. I do that for 15 minutes. We're all good, whatever. And one day I was in Des Moines or something, one of those funny bones. And I used to have the shirt. I wouldn't wear it because it was so tight. I would keep it in my pocket or something, and then I would throw it on right before I went on stage. And I was in Des Moines headlining, and I was feeling pretty good. And then I went backstage, and I was getting ready, and I reach in my pocket, and I'm like, this fucking shirt fell out. Oh. Shirt is gone, which is like dropping. It's like you dropped 15 minutes of material. It'd be like losing your closing joke on the way to the venue. And so that day, I was like, I can't be in a position where I rely on this. Like, dude, I worked with Jeff Dunham once, and three of his puppets got lost in luggage.
Oh, damn.
Yeah, he lost all he had was Peanut, and he had Walter's head. You know Walter, the old guy? Walter's body had been left on a plane somewhere. So we did an entire sold-out show with just one puppet, and then he held Walter's head on a stick. You could just see the strings and stuff.
Jesus.
He put something up in front of it, but he got off stage and said, I'm never traveling without these guys, like, up above me on an airplane, and he never did again.
Oh my, and I have to ask, because that's an incredible thing right there, to have that type of act and literally not have the act that people are coming to see. Yeah. How did the crowd, I'm sure they probably still loved it. I mean, was the crowd cool with it?
he did really well with the situation. He was also late to the club, so he had no time to prepare. The flight was late, the bags were late. So he did pretty good, but there was a few assholes at the end that were like, I paid for Walter, man. Where's Walter?
Yeah. I guess, and that, you know, you hope it didn't happen. Oh, it doesn't happen, but you kind of like, I'm on your side, like 90%. I could see 10% where I'd be like, hey, where's the guy? Where's the old guy?
Right, sure.
But that is crazy. That's so funny. See, and people don't realize stuff like that. And I don't know about you, but I get so stressed out, especially day of shows. I psych myself out. Like I just think I'm not, I got to bring myself back up. And I always think about that. Supposing this joke that I just wrote that I like, that I know is going to work, supposing I forget it. Suppose I don't have just some notes on the way to the show. Suppose I misplace it. And I freak myself out for no reason at all.
Yeah.
That's amazing stuff, though.
And I was leaning on this bit. I had just started headlining. It was a crutch. Like,
yeah.
It was like a big 15-minute thing. And so when I dropped it, it'd be like forgetting the last half of your act on the way to the show.
Gone. Right. It's like Metallica, not, you know, going Master of Puppets. Yeah. All right, we lost our instruments. How do we do this shit now?
Yeah. I was working with a guy at the Stress Factory once, and he would I think he was my opener. Oh yeah, he was opening for me. And at the end of his show, he would do a song parody where he would sing, like, it was that Under the Sea, The Little Mermaid.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even remember what the dumb parody was. It was like under the seat, like a weapon under a seat. And it was his big closer. And he was, you know, and I remember this one night, it was like the last show. He was like, okay, DJ, hit it for me. Silence. He's like, okay, I'm ready for you. Hit it for me. Play the music. Nothing. And then the DJ comes on and goes, yeah, dude, your CD looks like you burned it yourself. It's stuck in our CD player.
Oh,
we can't do you. And the guy goes, okay, good night, everybody. He just gets off stage. He didn't even try to do like other material. He just went, I needed that. I don't have it. He just got off stage.
You just cut bait right there.
It was out. That was it.
That is funny, man. And I got so many questions, but I know you're busy. We'll keep it brief. First off, you live in Alaska. I read in Fairbanks.
I do. I live in Fairbanks. Yeah.
Because I ask because I don't know what I've done to make my girlfriend mad, but she's taking me to Anchorage, Alaska in a few days.
For what?
Well, we're going on a plane with her mother and we're meeting her sister and her brother-in-law who live in Anchorage. His job took him to Anchorage. And I've never been, I haven't been in Florida almost 50 years. So anything under 65, I put a sweater on.
Okay.
So I just bought a $200 pair of waterproof boots yesterday. I guess we're going to be doing some outside walking somewhere.
Okay.
Anything I need to be scared of, aware of?
Anchorage is not so bad. Like where I live in Fairbanks, that's the real extreme temperatures. Anchorage might not be that bad. You're going to be fine.
Okay, good.
With your boots. But yeah, like where I live is where it's 24 hours of darkness. Like Anchorage doesn't really get that much. Where I live, it's 24 hours of darkness. And I call my friends because I complain a lot. It's a long story, but I kind of got tricked into moving to Alaska and by an ex-wife. And so I complain a lot. I call my friends. I go, dude, that's so depressing here. And my friend's like, come on, man. Isn't Alaska beautiful? And I go, I don't know. It's fucking dark. I can't see anything. Maybe
I can't see anything.
I want to kill myself. I can't find a rope.
Now, speaking of that, are you married now?
I'm not married now. No. So I am
all divorced. So, what's keeping you there? Kids?
My children. Yeah. So I have three kids that live up there. So I go there all of the time. And you know how it is with comedy. Like it's not easy. It's probably the hardest place to keep everything going. But I'll say whenever you're thrown some kind of weird obstacle, like this is for sure an obstacle. It's funny how it all works out. Like, I don't know if I would have wrote on Man with a Plan on CBS or like wrote the Rob Schneider show, because it makes you go, I can't just do every week doing stand-up anymore. So it opens up all this space for these other opportunities.
And that leads me to my next one. So, and thank you for the positive words about Alaska. I feel a little less scared about dying and stuff.
Are you preparing any other part of your body or just your feet? Are you going to buy a jacket?
No, I got some clothes that they gave me, I guess, from the previous guy who died while living in Alaska. I'm not sure. I don't know the backstory, but they felt bad because I have like one just kind of a heavy coat down here in Florida that I wear, you know, for our winter when it's a high of 50. So I'm bringing that. I got the thermals. I got the Balaclava, whatever that thing is called, the mask.
I got
some stuff, but I mean, they told me, they said, listen, man, just pack one bag. You're going to be fine. So I believe it. So, but no, I can't wait. Cause I mean, I know how beautiful it is there. So
yeah. Anchorage is amazing. Cause Fairbanks, there's no water. There's no whales you can look at, like where you're going. It's going to be tight. It's going to be a good spot.
Oh, good. Okay, good. Good to know. I appreciate that a lot. And then, yeah, now speaking of Rob and stuff, because I know you co-wrote this or co-write this too, right? The Real Rob Show on Netflix.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And how long have you known Rob?
I've known him for, it's probably been about 10 years now. I used to be a radio guy.
Okay.
Not like yourself. I was the comedian on a radio show. And then it was in Rochester, New York, which my first son was being born. And so I went home and took a job to be home and stuff.
Okay.
And Schneider called in one day and I was a huge fan and it was great. And he was hilarious. And I said something to him, like, I'm a huge fan, whatever. I am a comedian. And he said, dude, what are you doing tonight? And I go, nothing. And he goes, why don't you come do a set at my show? And I was like, what? Okay. And so I go to this show. I meet Rob for like 2 seconds in the green room. Uh-huh. I was like, oh, that was cool. And I thought I'd never see him again. You know, he went back into his room.
Yeah.
And they go, yeah, you're going to open for Rob. They go, but we have this improv group that's going to go before you. And they're from the college. It was in college. Sure. They go, they've never done improv before, but we're going to let them go up and do some improv. Then you can go up. And I go, okay. Dude, Pat, if there's comedy in heaven, you get to follow an improv group that has never gone up before.
Yeah.
They just had no jokes or anything. And so I went up and people were like, oh my God, pre-prepared material. And I heard this guy laughing off stage. And at the end of my set, I walked off and Schneider watched my whole set. And then that day he said, you know, you got to start writing for me. And I think he did.
Wow.
He was doing like the George Lopez show. He was doing Conan. He had like the roast of Quentin Tarantino. And so I wrote almost his whole set for that. And that's what really got us working together was that one roast.
So, okay. Now like writing actually material for stand-up or just literally like his roast type stuff?
It was at first just roast stuff. It was just the roast and then we'd do an appearance on TV. We'd write stuff and then it just kind of did. And that was just like a one-off. And then Howard Stern went on the radio the next day. He was there and he said, oh, I love this joke. And like a couple of them were mine. And so Rob was like, oh, this guy's not bad, you know? And so then, yeah, we just kept doing more and more. And then we wrote the TV show for Netflix and we just keep on going. We just wrote a movie that's coming out in March.
And I think is that the one now with Rob and I want to say David Spade?
Yeah, it's Rob Spade, Jackie Sandler, Adam Sandler's wife. John Cleese is in there.
That's right, John Cleese.
Yeah.
And what's that one called?
It's called Daddy Daughter Trip.
Wow. Okay. And this is, and with you. And then when is it scheduled to come out?
Probably like March. It's like a spring break kind of movie. So we're hoping to get it out.
Oh, and maybe we can do something again right before that and we'll plug that or we'll do something on Facebook and social media and we'll plug that. I'll have it on the podcast anyway.
For sure.
Dude, that's awesome. And I was going to ask you, so this is how you met Rob. And it's amazing. So he liked something right off the bat with you. You guys clicked.
Yeah.
And then what got you? I know you said you got into the radio station to stay local with your newborn child. So what got you into the comedy game, though, back in the day?
Back in the day, dude, just honestly, when I was a little kid, I wanted to be a comedian and I didn't know if it was a real job. Probably like seventh grade, I was writing jokes and stuff, but I didn't even know it was a real job. So I'd go to like comedy shows and watch them, sneak in, watch the guys. Then I did like a couple open mics and it went okay. And then I started to like meet the guys in the local scene in upstate New York. And then I was going to law school. I got into the University of Buffalo. I went to law school. I paid my money and everything, got an apartment. And then that week when I was waiting to go, I got my first paid gig, $50 in a hotel room. And I was like, this is absolutely amazing. Like, it's unbelievable. And so I decided to take a year off from law school just because it was so much fun. And dude, I moved to law school. I went home and my dad was like sitting on the couch and I go, I got a crazy idea. I go, I'm thinking about taking a year off of law school and like trying stand-up comedy. And my dad was like, yeah, let's do that. Let's go get your stuff from law school. I was like, okay. He was like beyond supportive, like 100%.
Wow, that's awesome. Okay. That's surprising. I thought it was going to be the opposite.
Yeah, didn't even say like, are you sure? He went like, let's do this, man. Let's give it a try.
That's fantastic. And look, just where it's got you now. But that's what I'm saying. But there was something about you where I know you're intelligent. The stuff you write is intelligent. The show, I'm on season 2 now, episode 6 of Real Rob. So I'm catching up. I'm getting nice. Going here.
Episode 7 of season 2 is my favorite one.
That's the one coming up?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, And I'm going to call anybody out, but I did notice something on season one, episode five, the gaying in shape episode.
Uh-huh.
I loved it. I loved it. I forget. Is it Udo? What's the guy's name that he lived?
Udo. Yeah. Udo,
the guy with the workout. Okay, great. And if people don't know, Jamie plays Jamie, Rob's kind of, dare I say, aloof friend assistant.
Yes, exactly.
In the show. But I did notice you were making a juicer or a juice thing or something while Rob and his wife were talking, I noticed a wedding band on your ring finger. And then the next I noticed it on your middle finger. That's all I want to say.
That's pretty good, dude. We had a tough, what is that? I always forget the name of the person. It's like a crew member and their job is to make sure that there's consistency.
Continuity.
Continuity. I could never remember that word. And we had this girl and she was amazing.
Uh-huh.
Like such a cool person. And she since passed away, which is so terrible. And
she wasn't around Alec Baldwin, was she?
She was not around Alec Baldwin.
Sorry, that's horrible.
But her continuity, she just had a little bit of trouble with the continuity. Like I remember one time the scene was a party and Rob was on the phone with me and I was also behind him. Like he's supposed to be I'm not there. He's on the phone with me. And if you look, I'm also in the back playing with these kids. Like right there.
Now that is awesome.
Yeah.
It happens, man. And
I think during the funeral, she had a different color shirt on for the second half of the, I'm sorry.
That's right. Yeah. Rest in peace. Oh yeah, my God. That's awesome. That right there is. Another quick question. I just thought of this. Now is that, because I didn't research this one. Is that really Rob's real life wife?
Yep, that's right. Yep, Patricia.
Wow.
Yep.
Okay, because first off, I don't know her background, but she's a good actress.
Yeah.
And she's really, really attractive.
She is. Yeah, yeah. She's a killer, man. She we wrote most of I would say season two. Me and her wrote pretty much the whole thing.
Rob is very busy.
Yeah, and he came in like at the end and fixed stuff, but.
Geez, no, is she a comedian as well? Or
she started in Mexico hosting, I think she was producing a couple shows in Mexico and then ended up like hosting a couple talk shows in Mexico. And I think that's how Rob met her. She was interviewing comedians and he was like one of her guests.
Okay. Wow. There's got to be something. Okay. Yeah. Because I figured she had to be on TV, especially in Mexico. She has that look where she needs to be in front of a camera doing something. So. Yeah. That's amazing. That's good to know. I didn't know that. So that's cool. And then now, are we going for season three on Real Rob, or do we have a contract, or is it do you see it going on as long as you want? Or
it's hard to say. Let me turn off my text so people stop beeping me. Hold on one second. I don't know if you could hear that beep.
It's Comedians Uncorked little push we give you right there. Once people know you're live, even though you're not live, they just start bugging you.
All right, I turned it off. I forgot the question.
I forgot what I asked.
What are we talking about?
It was about something. Season three or something. How do you feel about that?
Yeah, so we already, Netflix licensed the show from us, which means we own it, which is kind of cool. And so they just bought it to play it, and that runs out pretty soon. And so if they don't want to do season three, which we don't think they necessarily want to, we can take all three somewhere else. And season three is already written. So it hasn't been filmed yet, but it's completely written. I have it on my computer right now. And so we're kind of hoping, we have a few people that heard that and contacted us. So we're kind of hoping we could do season three and take all three seasons to some other, maybe like a smaller streaming service.
Okay.
You know, something where it could really stand out. And, you know, Netflix is amazing, but you get those emails like, hey, there's 4,000 shows coming out tomorrow. We recommend for you. And you're like, okay.
That's just it in this world, man. You know what we live in, right? It's just there's so much coming at us.
Yeah,
I didn't literally know about your guys' show until maybe about maybe 6 to 7 weeks ago. I didn't know.
Yeah,
I was just flipping through. I'm like, oh, I like this. Let me check it out. And then I just happened to see you. I do a segment on our podcast called Where They At, where I just do where comics are going to be playing in and around the Tampa Bay or Florida area, but then again around the country since we're around the world. And I just happened to do some clubs last weekend, and I saw you were at a club. I forget the name of the club in Michigan. And this was so nice about you. I just literally messaged you on Facebook. I said, hey, we're doing this podcast. I'm mentioning your show anyway, because we picked Michigan to do some shows on our podcast. Would you mind coming on? He's like, yeah, man, no problem. Really?
Yeah, I did one night stands in
Yes.
Waterford, that's owned by a buddy of mine, this really, really funny comedian, Mike Green, that retired from comedy to open a club. It's a great place.
Cool. One night stand. Oh, that's awesome. That's good to know.
Yeah.
I'll have to get with you. Like, maybe I could, I don't know. I just want to do 15 minutes. That's all I want to do.
Yeah, dude. Get in there, man.
I'm going to show them what I can do.
Get in there, dude. Yeah, it's funny with Netflix. Like, the first time I ever really caught up to Netflix was like the pandemic, where I could find, I finally saw all the shows people would bring up to me. I watched everything, dude. Pat, I watched season two of that Yule Log Fireplace.
That was, I love it. It just always seems the same to me, but it makes me feel good.
Season two has great writing. I watch it with closed captions. It just says crackle, crackle.
That's right. That's right.
I've seen it all.
Well, you're not as broke as me, because I used to wait when I had Sling, the Sling channel, when they would give us, before I dropped it, of course, I can't afford $35 a month, or the orange and blue package, whatever it was. I would wait for like a free HBO weekend. They would give you like a HBO or something weekend. And I would like binge all of the, like the Ballers episodes with The Rock. Oh, I would try to get as many shows in before I knew it was going to be down to the last minute before they cut it off. And that's how I caught up on things. That's how poor Pat is in Pasco County, Florida. But no, that's really, I'm happy. Now, do you find it hard though to do the writing for the show? And I know you got season three in the can, but then you also have a movie coming out and doing stand-up and other TV shows. Is there a protocol, or are you able to do them all kind of simultaneously? Like I see some of these other guys and girls doing that, they're everywhere.
Yeah, I think it's a real advantage too. Well, the first thing is, if you do just stand-up, it's a lot of pressure because you have to book 50 headlining weeks a year. If you just write, it's also a lot of pressure because you have to find these writing jobs, which are so coveted and so difficult to get sometimes. But if you act, do stand-up, write, I act, I do stand-up, I write, but I also do like punch-up, which I consider slightly different. And if you do four things, you can always work, and you don't have to be like this, the number one guy in your field. There's always something to do if you do well. And I'm the kind of guy that I go kind of crazy, like on the road when I'm alone. And so like I was at One Night Stands, and you know, you just work at night. And so I got a gig doing punch up for a new CBS show. And like, that's what I did during the day. And without that, I almost can't make it through the week. It's just too much time. And so that's why I say yes to podcasts. Like, I know a lot of guys don't do, I need to like do something every day, like talking to you. Uh-huh. It's fun. And then I think our brains get working, and then you go do your next thing. It's like a good way to wake up, you know, talk to somebody about comedy and make a couple jokes. I just think we got to be doing that. For me, I have to do that almost all day, every day, or start to get like depressed and shit like that. It helps me be busy.
It's funny you say that, because I agree. Because when I'm feeling like kind of, you know, in that lugubrious type mood, like I said, I'll just be in a negative mood. I'll wake up or something going on, I just feel blah. If I watch stand up or I'm just with someone talking about just anything, it could be my local firefighter neighbor. We're talking about fire engines. I'm like, I'm just kind of feeling good now. I'm ready to do something creative now. So you're right. Just being, keeping yourself active. I agree with you on that, man.
Yeah, you made me think of something too. Like, we all have those friends who we call, and when we hang up, we feel better.
Yeah.
And then you have those friends where you call and you wake up and you feel tired and worse somehow. And so I started really making a rule that I don't want to like not be friends with certain people anymore. But I have a rule where if I got to go a month and I only can talk to the people that I make them feel better, we hang up and want to go create something and do something, we're happy for each other, I can only have conversations with those types of people. It just doesn't work for me. Or else, you know how it is, like you talk to a buddy and all they do is complain, and you try to help or be positive and then they're negative. And then you hang up and the next hour of your day's ruined and you're in a weird state of mind. We just don't have time for that shit, man.
You're exactly right. My circle of friends, I've always had a small circle anyway, but social media has done that to me now. I'm almost exclusively just promoting shows and podcasts on stuff now, because I just, you know how when you're just scrolling through, you'd be like, hey, it's my anniversary, hey, it's my birthday, and then some guys goes, yeah, it looks like I got cancer. You go, oh Jesus Christ, how am I supposed to come back from that now? And I just read, I know he or she's, they want support, and I'll give them that little care emoji and say I love you, whatever I can do. But sometimes that, or just like you said, the complainers or the constant political lamaze and this and that, I have to divorce myself from all that stuff.
Certainly. Yeah. Social media is sort of, if you don't cultivate it, it's handing over control of your state of mind to something. Like, you don't know what you're going to see that's going to, even if it is that you feel sad for somebody, but you want to, I want to do that when I'm in that type of mindset. Like, I want,
right.
If a friend texts me like something really bad's going on, I love to talk to that guy, but it's sort of, you want to be prepared. You don't want to just be about to do a comedy show and then you're scrolling through and you're pissed off about
everything. Some political right. Goals. Right. Just mad, pissed off. And
you know,
and,
there's a Google Chrome extension that you can click on. It gets rid of politics on your feed.
Really?
Yeah, there's a Google Chrome extension and you just download it. It's called like No Politics. And I do it all the time and you click it on. And on Facebook, it gets rid of any political post and only posts like somebody playing with their dog or something.
Oh, wow. So the old school, what it used to be back in the day, like just people showing pictures of their lunch and stuff like that.
I do it like during the week. I just keep it on. I'm like, I don't need to watch people fight about vaccines or whatever.
Right. Yeah. That's what I want. I want the I shouldn't say anti-vaccine. That's a whole different argument. But give me the vaccine people. Right. Get those off my feed. Yeah. Political. I didn't know that. That's so cool. See, it's funny how just tech, everyone wants it, but then people don't want it. It's just a circle. We right. want it, but then we create more tech to make that tech go away.
Yeah.
It's a weird circle, man. Real quick, there's been some crazy stories in the news here with people, not just the typical hecklers like on live comedy, but people going on stage. Just happened in our comedy zone in Jacksonville, Florida, just a few weeks ago. Some lady went on stage, white lady, older woman, married, and just decided to literally walk on the stage and tell the comic he was just talking too much about sexual stuff and anti-marriage type stuff. And she was a woman. She wanted to make it clear she was a woman. And he's like, hey, I heard you, lady. Get off the stage now. But we're having more of this type stuff, things being thrown. Have you experienced this? Or how do you feel about just the role that the audience is or is not playing now when it comes to live events?
Yeah, I've had very little of that because I've been working with, I think I've only headlined 8 times this year, and I've just been touring with Schneider.
Okay.
And so his tour is buttoned up. Like, his tour is, there's security. Good. If you videotape, everyone's properly warned. There's no hecklers because they get one warning and then they're kicked out. So that stuff has been really great. And it's funny, the last night in, where the hell was I? In Waterford, in Michigan. Uh-huh. We did have a guy that the first 2 comedians came off stage and said, man, this guy won't shut up. Like, he's talking the entire time. It's driving me crazy. And so I told security, I go, hey, keep an eye on him, but give me a second. Give me a second with him. Give me 10 minutes. And so I went out and just, it was great, dude. It was like, I haven't destroyed a heckler in a very long time, but I have a thing where I know the guys in most situations that I've been in, the guy's not a jerk. He's just a little too drunk. And so I do pride myself on, I went hard at this guy. It went very well. People were really laughing.
Good.
And the moment I saw he was getting upset that people were laughing at him, I brought him back in. I go, hey man, you made the show unique. Everyone, you're not going to see this on TV. Right. We're all good. End of the show, the guy bought one of my t-shirts. And we're friends. Like, I feel like almost every heckler I've somehow maintained friends with. So I've had like no, I've had no stories of anybody. I'm also I'm not out there pushing these extreme polarizing beliefs. I'm talking about magicians and my children.
Right, right. That Jeff Dunham character, those guys.
Yeah.
Just kidding, Jeff. Oh God, I'll never have him on the podcast. Maybe I'll have the head of Walter.
Yeah, you should have Walter on. I wouldn't have Jeff.
Well, you see, you just gave up a great secret on how to do things. It's you destroy them because that's the job, because they're not shutting up, because they're ruining the show, right?
Yeah.
And then, but then you give him the external reinforcement that he may or may not know he needs, and you kind of give him a little pet, a little hug, and you make him then, like you said, a part of the show. Say, hey, man, that's a great work. You made the show unique. That brings him in. And then people are now they're for you as they were, but they're kind of for him. Like, okay, we all forgive you now. Be quiet and let the comic do his job.
Yeah, because so, I think before I had kids, I used to be more of a dick. Like, I want to do my show. Like, shut up. Like, I want to get the. And for some reason, when I had kids, I don't know if it's having to get a babysitter for the first time and a night out is so difficult to arrange, and you're spending this money, that I immediately go to like, what's going on at that guy's table? He decided to spend tonight here. I don't know what he did. I don't know if he has a babysitter. I don't know. So I kind of want everyone to have a good time. And I used to only care if I had a good time.
Right.
And then, but for the last like 13 years, I've been a lot more cognizant of like, what everybody's going through to get out, especially with COVID, and they haven't been out. And this guy probably has him, you know, who knows how long it's been since he, hopefully he'll never go to one again, but it's probably been 18 months since he went to his last.
At least not one of your shows again. Yeah. That's fun. You're right. And that's fun. That's good. That's another good way to look at it. You're right. Cause and I've learned that too, as I'm getting older now, I'm 51. I'm like, it's about, you know, we have a job to do on stage, but it's also about, okay, how much money did they pay to get in? Yeah. They're sitting down, they're having their food, they're having their dinner, their drinks. Are they having a good day? Did they just have a fight before they get there? Like you said, did they have a fight with the babysitter? Now, I know you can't think about all this, but I'm thinking, okay, our job is just to make them laugh. They just sit there. So you're right. If there is a little outburst or something like that, you can play around with it. And you're right. So many people are under so much stress nowadays. Yeah. We live in Florida. We got a lot of guns in Florida. Mm-hmm. We've got Stand Your Ground. We got stuff like that. We got some wacky laws. And that's why I never do. I always tell people I'm not that smart to do political or religious humor anyway. Even if I was, I probably still wouldn't do it. But I mean, down here, though, like you said, the stage is like our home. It's our office, as my co-host Tony Gaud says. That's my home. I didn't invite you up here, you know. Right. So, oh, by the way, Tony says hi because he said he worked with you years ago. It must have been at the Tampa Improv.
In Florida. Yeah, it's funny. After you said that, I looked him up. I was like, I remember that guy.
So he said howdy. So we'll be talking about this a little later on. So, but listen, man, I'll give you just a quick, easy one. We've been asking people, and this is a I don't know, kind of a fun one, but if anything, what do you want for Christmas? What do you want for Christmas of 2021?
It's a really good question. I feel like I have everything I need, honestly. Okay. This is going to be the, I was going to use an inappropriate word. This is going to be like a goofy answer, but honestly, I've been traveling for, I normally get to Alaska pretty much every week, like every 2 weeks for a good stint. And I've been doing this new show on Fox News, even though I'm not very political, but I've been doing like the Greg Gutfeld show, and I just became a regular. So this month I'm out for 21 days in a row right now.
Oh, wow.
And so I'm going to New York City next week. I did it last Thursday. I'm going this week again to do it two more. I'm going to tape two more shows. My point being, my Christmas, I just want to hang out with my kids and they don't have to give me anything. And I just want to like have some time with them. That's what I'm really looking forward to. And I'd like one of the kids to buy me those new Bose headphones.
Yes, please. For God's sake. I wish we had that kind of budget on our show. We can give you a party gift like that. But so I'm hoping.
I can't wait to hug my little one. And I hope he's holding Bose CQ5.
Christmas Bose. No, wrong Bose. Yeah. That's funny. And I appreciate you taking time. And real quick, where do you guys film? Is that in LA or Hollywood when you do the,
which one? Show? The Gutfeld?
The Netflix show with Rob. Is that
the Hollywood? Netflix show we filmed in Florida. Have you ever heard of Full Sail University?
Yes.
We used some student, we had no money because we made that show. Rob paid for the making of season one and then sold it to Netflix. So we got a bunch of students from Full Sail to help us out as like PAs and stuff like that.
Wow. Okay.
And then we did the second season was mostly LA and a little bit in Vegas.
That's cool. I didn't know about that Full Sail. That's good. Well, big ups to Full Sail. We'll tag them in this thing. That's really great. Cool.
Friends with a lot of those guys. Yeah.
And we're trying to get back into that acting thing. Years ago, like 30 years ago, man, we were big here. We were getting grants to people and bringing movie companies in and film companies. And then we got away from it for years. Now we're trying to reel them back in again because we've changed so much between going from urban, you go a few miles, it's totally rural. It's different types of landscape and stuff. So we're hoping to get those companies back again because we loved it years ago. It was just so great to see things being filmed in and around the area, you know?
Yeah, dude, Full Sail was great. We did have this one guy, I would say 99% of the people we used were amazing. And this one time we had like a first AD, you know, first assistant director who's in charge of coming up with a schedule every day. And this guy was just making so many mistakes, like just crazy mistakes, like having actors come 2 hours late and they should have been filming an hour ago. Like it was mistakes you can't make and film a TV show. Right. And so I remember they wanted me to talk to him because I was producing. And I said, yeah, dude, it's all good, man. Let's just get somebody to help you. You know, I go, we're not going to take your title away. We're going to give you the credit, but let's just get somebody to come in here and help you. And I go, how long have you been, like, what year are you at the school? Like how long you been at? And he goes, oh, I'm the professor of, he was the teacher of the shit that he couldn't do.
Right. Oh my God.
I don't think you should be the professor.
Dude, that's like being a bad parent having kids.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. That's funny. Well, then again, it is Florida. So, I mean, I'm just saying that's what we, you know, we just party here. It's all we do.
And I couldn't fire him because he had two guns. So, you know.
And you didn't know which one, if it was really loaded or not.
Yeah, you have no idea.
That's funny. Now,
when I'm in Florida and someone cuts me off in traffic, I roll down the window and I give them a thumbs up. Everywhere else, it's a middle finger. Florida, I go, you did a great job. Way to cut me off.
You don't know down here. It's so scary. But you know, welcome to the Sunshine State. Yeah. But we're still good folks, though. But it's a weird thing, man. But listen, Jamie, I appreciate you taking time out, man. And just and this, like I said, is going to be coming out here shortly. Where are you going to be at this coming weekend, like the 18th and 19th? And then what's a good place?
I'm going to look at my calendar because I want to tell you something. I am going to be at the Raleigh Improv this weekend, the 17th and 18th. But I wanted to tell you, I'm also going to be in West Palm at the Improv January 14th, 15th, 16th. I'll be at West Palm right there in Florida. And then we're hitting the Miami Improv in March.
Cool. Now, is that going to be you or you and Schneider?
Part of Rob's I Have Issues tour. So we'll be getting part of his tour.
Dude, that's great. Oh, I wish you were hitting the Tampa Bay area, man.
Yeah, nothing in Tampa yet, but we're adding things every week that's getting bigger. So
I'll keep an eye out. Otherwise, I'll see if I can do a – I'm booked all the way in January and into February, but if I can – God, I'd love to make one of those improv shows. If I can't, hopefully you'll book something in Tampa.
I'll hit you up if we do. I'll let you know.
That's really cool. And best way people can get a hold of you to watch you on TV and the show and the movie, what's the best way people can get a hold of you?
So people never remember my name, and so my website is robschneidersfriend.com.
That's right. I saw that.
And I'm mostly on Instagram, but if you go to my website, that'll get you everywhere.
That's right. And you're making sure. Do you have a shirt that says that?
I do. Oh, I thought I was wearing one. I have a shirt that says, I don't drink anymore because when I drank, I would do like irresponsible things. And so I sell a shirt that says it's for people that drink a lot but don't want to be held responsible for what they do when they drink. And it's like a warning label on a bottle of pills, but instead of for a bottle of pills, it's for you. And it says, warning, do not mix with alcohol.
With alcohol. That's right. That's the one I saw. And that's available on your website. Give out the site one more time.
Yeah, it's robschneidersfriend.com.
Robschneidersfriend.com. Pick up a shirt, especially a few days before Christmas. It makes a great Christmas gift.
Yeah, man. Yeah.
So that's really cool.
It's a great gift for like a pregnant woman.
Yeah. And any one of my girlfriend's family, it's going to be great.
Well, thank you, brother. Good talking to you, Pat.
Jay Melissa, seriously, thank you so much. Continued success with everything you do on season 3 of Real Rob on Netflix or wherever it may go, and your movies and your writing and your stand-up. I look forward to seeing you soon. Thank you so much for keeping things uncorked. And guys, thank you so much for listening. And like I always say, laugh, you deserve it. And thanks for checking out the Comedians Uncorked podcast.
Pretty cool guy. Hope you guys enjoyed that. Jamie Lisso. And check him out. Now, he did, again, say that season 3 is in the can for Real Rob. So hopefully we'll see that on Netflix.
Yeah, start an email campaign.
Yeah. No,
we want more Real Rob.
I even told him I didn't know about it until a few weeks ago, but now I can't stop watching. And Rob Schneider's wife is gorgeous.
Yeah.
God. I asked him, are you in the interview?
That's his real wife. Yeah. He goes, you didn't know that?
No, I didn't know that. And nor did she help him co-write. That was amazing. So, all right, I think it's time for Where They At. And I may have something. You guys can say if you like this or not. We're going to work on this.
Testing it. Oh, boy.
We have a little intro for this. Hang on.
This is awesome.
Where they at? Where they be? I don't know. Don't ask me. Go ask Pat.
And that's it.
That's perfect. All right.
Where are they at?
Where are they at?
So if you're not familiar, we just do a little segment called Where Are They At every week, where we do some comedians around the Florida area, because that's where we are, and also then around the country. So we'll kick it off with my gig. This is going to be Saturday night in just a couple of days at the Whiskey. It's a gentleman's club.
Right.
We do the comic strip. Ginger Kelly's going to be there, my buddy Jeff Klein, and also Absar Sadiq. It's a 9:30 show, and I love it because I always give away stuff. I find stuff at my house to give away, and I throw it out to the audience, and now it's the Christmas weekend special or show we're going to be doing.
Right,
so nice. I'm going to be finding some great stuff, so get ready. Leftovers. Also, a lot of leftovers, exactly. A lot of used things. Snappers Grill and Comedy Club in Palm Harbor, Florida has the very funny Bob DeBono featuring is this is really cool. Featuring is America's Funniest Teacher, Mike Rivera.
Mike.
So, yep, we got two shows, actually five shows tonight, and then two Saturday, and then two Friday, two Saturday. Tampa Improv, Tony, your home club, has Mr. Arnez J.
Yes,
coming
he's
up.
A funny guy, yeah. I've never seen him. He's hilarious.
I've never seen him do. I've never seen him do stand up.
Yes, and by the way, he loves to fish.
So, really?
Yeah. Every time he comes through,
you take him out.
Well, I don't take him out, but they take him out. He goes out to the piers and.
Oh, cool.
And fishes.
That's
yeah. He loves fishing, man.
So. That's why we love Florida. Arnez J, December 17th through 19th, Alaska. Since I'm coming to you, Anchorage. Who would have thought? We have a club called Coots, K-O-O-T-S. Eddie Ift is going to be there.
Oh, wow.
He is. He was a few times on the Joe Rogan Experience. So funny dude from Comedy Central and Showtime. If I get to do an open mic or do a guest set, I'm gonna film it all or videotape it and try to get the owner too. So we'll put it on the podcast.
That'd be very cool.
We're gonna do that. Since we're up there, Seattle. Since we're flying in there, you guys have Laughs Comedy Club, December 17th and 18th. Gabriel Rutledge is gonna be there. Tacoma Comedy Club. Dan Cummins. We mentioned him a couple weeks ago.
Dan Cummins.
Dan Cummins is gonna be there the 16th through the 18th. Utah. I know. Utah. I didn't know. Utah, Salt Lake City, December 17th and 18th. You've got, ready for this? Paul Reiser.
Paul Reiser, yeah. Well, that's where they do dry bar over
yes,
there.
Yes, that's true. That's
Utah,
true. So
yeah.
Paul Reiser along with Jordan Macon and Steve Solberg. And then one more time in Portland, Oregon, we have Helium Comedy Club has Bobcat Goldthwait, 16th through 18th of December. So we got that going on there, and that pretty much does it for Where They At.
It's awesome. Some great shows.
A lot of shows, and anything you want to add on to that, again, put in the comments on YouTube. Let us know where some of the people that are doing shows or some people you want us to follow, and we'll put them on and see where they're at next week or something.
Yes,
so we'll
catch our shows. Come out and check out our shows and say what's up.
Love to. And we'll do that more once we get to hopefully do more on-location stuff here and there around Florida and maybe even around the country. Man, we're getting the light.
We did get the light.
I'm running over, man.
Yeah, you got the, yeah.
So for a lot of people to thank. So for my co-host, Tony God, big shout-out to Julie Drolshagen again for the studio. FloridaBeachBusiness.com, Century 21, 727-902-9233.
FloridaBeachBusiness.com.
.com. Give her a shout. Also, Randy Myers, who runs ComediansUncorked.com. We can't do it without you.
Yes,
and
you, Randy.
Yes, and our voice guy who kicks things off with that beautiful, mellifluous voice, Mr. Jeff Lawrence of North Carolina, one of the best voice talents in the whole entire country.
Very cool guy.
So, yes, he's a really cool dude. And, again, hit us up on the YouTube channel, Comedians Uncorked. Hit subscribe and get us Instagram, Facebook, anything at Comedians Uncorked. So thank you so much. Any last words, Tony?
Last words.
We're done. We're done. Guys, thank you so much for tuning in to Episode 9 of the Comedians Uncorked podcast. For Tony God, I'm Pat Largo. Laugh, you deserve it. We'll see you later.